Welcome to this podcast for St. Peter's Church Greenhill, as we seek to become loving, witnessing, and growing people.
I'm a teacher. Everything I do points towards that. Obviously, my job as a lecturer shows that I'm a teacher. And I teach hundreds of students each year the fundamentals of engineering. Some of you know that we home-educated our boys, with me teaching them science and craft-related subjects. But I often find myself in teaching situations in other aspects of my life. One time, when we were going around the Science Museum in London, there was a display on how the unique wing shape of Concorde was developed. If anyone's interested, I can tell you later. They had photographs and models that were used in the design. So I started to tell the boys about how it had been done. I slowly became aware that a number of parents had subtly moved their children in my direction and were standing apparently fascinated by other objects in the vicinity. Michelle was standing back and trying not to laugh as she watched it happen. On another occasion, I was in Frankfurt Airport with a couple of colleagues. It was a very wet day and our flight was delayed. So I went for a bit of a walk, as you do, around the terminal. When I noticed an unusual aircraft on the tarmac, so I went to the window for a closer look. Now, Frankfurt Airport is close to an Airbus factory, and they transport parts to the assembly plant in Toulouse. The parts are not transported by road or sea, but by using a specially designed freight aircraft, and the latest of these is known as Beluga. I realised I was seeing the Beluga about to take off, so I waited at the window. At that point, one of my colleagues came up and asked what I was watching. So I said, Beluga, and explained why it was interesting. Now, in a normal world, that would have been it. But not in my world. More people, no doubt bored by the delays, came over and started asking me questions. So I gave an impromptu lecture to at least 20 people. As I say, I'm a teacher. Teachers are identified as necessary for building the body of Christ, as it said in the first reading of this series, where each of us is apportioned skills for the glory of God by Christ through the Spirit. But what are the important characteristics of a teacher? Turning to our reading today, we have some very familiar words, where Jesus says to his disciples that he is the good shepherd. His sheep know his voice and will follow him. Jesus leads his flock to the Father by teaching and guiding them through trouble and through adversity, through the gate, safe and secure. He is teacher, leader, pastor, and guide. We should recognize that Jesus is a consummate teacher. He's recognized as such, with people referring to him as teacher when they approach him to ask him questions. He teaches people wherever he goes, and he also finds himself teaching when he wasn't even planning to. So Jesus is a teacher, but what aspects of his life are particular to a teacher? Well, we're told that Jesus teaches with confidence and with truth. But also, we see that he has adaptability. In Matthew 7, verse 29, the people are puzzled as Jesus teaches with authority, saying he's not like their usual teachers. People recognize the truth that Jesus speaks with, like the woman at the well in John 4, who then goes and brings other people to hear Jesus teach after he's taught her. He also meets people where they are, as we see in the parables, where he adapts his teaching style to his recipients. We regularly see him talk to the general population. the scribes and the Pharisees, but then expand on the lesson to his disciples because they know more than his regular listeners. They can have more detail because they're ready for it. Jesus meets the people in their lives, speaks to the scribes in their language of detail and rigor for the law, discusses tradition with the Pharisees, and shows his disciples what it is to know God. He displays all of the leadership characteristics that we're discussing in our sermon series. He is apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, and evangelist. His concern for the people and their lives shines through in the way he approaches the teaching, adapting to the learning styles and needs of his audience. Jesus is a man of his time, and he teaches people using things that would be familiar to them. So his stories would be familiar, but then he changes something to get his point across. And I think that's something that we really miss and ignore in the teachings of Jesus, particularly around the parables, as some of the subtlety is missed in our first world non-agricultural society. For example, the humour in the parable of the sower, where a man scatters seed on good ground and bad ground, and even on the rocks. What an idiot! How can he afford to spend money by throwing seed on bad ground? A farmer would carefully sow the seed only in the good ground. But the lesson is that God is generous and accepting of everyone, and we might miss that as we don't understand farming. The parable of the prodigal son is also humorous to a fault. A father of some repute would never run, and hitching up his tunic to tuck it into his belt. What nonsense! This would never happen. And again, we probably miss that because in our society we're different. But again, the lesson is that God is so happy to greet us that conventions are thrown aside and the joy of the moment surpasses everything. These lessons stick in memory because they have truth at their heart, passion and humour in their delivery, and a deep concern for the people that he is teaching. And these are the characteristics that a teacher needs. The disciples and the people who listen to Jesus have the teacher. The sheep know his voice and follow him, and he shows them the Father. He teaches them to pray. He shows them truth of resurrection, and he then leaves them the Spirit to continue to support his work as they go out and minister to the people. The problem is that now we don't have Jesus to teach us directly. We have the Bible, and we have great teachers from the past who can guide us, and we still have the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and truth in our hearts. But we also need the words to be broken down so that we can understand them. We need our own teachers. But in order to make sure they speak the truth and to ensure they don't lead the body of Christ, us, astray, the teachers we have must be passionate about the detail and search for the truth in whatever they set out to teach. They must bring the Good Shepherd with them and enter by the gate that he opens, not climbing over the fence like the thief or the robber, or running away like the hired hands when the wolves appear. They must also bring the lessons to life in a way that we, modern people in an enlightened time, can understand. We need detail to be correct if we're to understand the Bible. We need to know we can trust the teacher, otherwise the teacher-learner relationship will be broken. We need the teacher to think about the audience and to craft the lesson in a way they can understand. Sarah's story of the evangelist shouting damnation on the people is a pretty bad example of teaching. Where was the consideration of the audience and where they would be met? How was that, like the woman at the well, where Jesus preaches love and concern, not damnation, to a woman who is demonstrably a sinner and far from salvation, until Jesus steps into her world? Jesus talks with authority and passion, and we need teachers who can do that as well. When I talk about aerospace engineering, I do just that. And I hope that I bring that attention to detail and passion for my subject into my sermons as well. I certainly try to research the situation around the reading and to understand the geopolitical circumstances that Jesus was in, to understand how his listeners would have heard his voice, and then to bring it to my audience in a way that they can understand and relate to, praying and trusting in the Holy Spirit at all times. That's how I teach. But we're all teachers. Some of you may have taught your children and grandchildren. Others, nieces and nephews. Others, brothers and sisters. Some of you may have been professional teachers and educators, and some of you will have taught people without you ever knowing that you were giving a lesson. But in order to be a teacher, first you had to be a learner. As we move to oversight ministry, we need more teachers and learners to make sure we are a community growing in faith. But to give that teaching value, we all need to take part. We have so many opportunities to both learn and teach. Sermons are the primary means of teaching that occurs every Sunday, but we can all join small groups and both learn from and teach each other. We can help with children's ministry, and we can pray and speak to people about our faith. That bit might sound like evangelism, but to evangelize is to teach. We can use the skills of a teacher to lead people, as Jesus did, and determine the directions that we should take. And that is to be an apostle. We can speak wisdom into situations, and that is to be a prophet, or perhaps a pastor. In all cases, we teach, but we must keep the truth of Jesus in our hearts and rest in the Holy Spirit, so that all we say builds up the body of Christ and makes it stronger. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to learn your ways and follow your paths. As we do so, help us to become more aware of you, so that we know your shepherding voice and follow where you lead. As we know you, help us to bring your words to others, and as we teach and learn from each other, give us the truth in our hearts and love in everything that we do. Amen.